Christ is risen. Hallelujah. On behalf of the conference and, of course, of St. Jude's, we welcome you to the Gulf Coast of Alabama. I want to have mentioned a couple things for this evening. We weren't prepared with short notice to have much of a reception, but we do have a little bit of refreshments in the back. It's behind me. If you do like to have just a beverage and maybe a cookie, we do have that available. Our service tonight will be the old service, really, in the new hymnal, page 184. I do want to mention the psalm we'll read responsibly as the introit. That is Psalm 134. You may want to put a ribbon on that so that we come to that part of our service. Psalm 134. Also, I do want to mention that a couple of the hymns, you may have the second to last hymn without music. We still sing on, as it's a very wonderful way of sharing the word in a very bold way, and especially tonight with all our voices. One last thing I do want to mention with the sacrament for introduction. Our practice at our church is that I will be giving the bread, and you partake that. And tonight, Ted will be following with a tray of communion cups. Please take the cup, but do not drink it. Wait until all have received it, and with my motion, with my words together, we take and drink of his blood. We do that kind of as a family unity, and we'll be doing one half at each side, and it usually goes pretty fast. So we hope that you enjoy our worship and the words tonight of Christ's resurrection. Let's begin by singing our opening hymn.
Forgiveness.
I said I will confess my
tonight by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word. With joy announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now turn to Psalm 134. Congregation reads responsively the indented line following the red asterisk. Psalm 134.
God bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place. May the Lord bless you from Zion. Lord,
service of the Word on page 186, we sing the Gloria Patri. pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, you withdrew yourself for times of prayer and brought your disciples with you, that they might also rest with you. Be present with us during this time of retreat convention, that gathered together in your name, we may profitably meditate on your word and be strengthened with the goodwill to serve you and your people. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Next page has responses after the first two readings. The first reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, selected verses of chapter 3. The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that as Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading comes from Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is of your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Please arise as we sing the Hallelujah verse on page 190.
According to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. And together we make profession of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the God of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things
Lent, during the season of Lent, our congregation has been doing an intense study on prayer. We use the acronym ACTS, which many of you are familiar with: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And we've grown a lot in our understanding of just what prayer is and the powerful effect that prayer can have in our lives. We talked about intercessory prayer as well. I was so pleased to hear Dave Buss's report at the board of directors meeting this past month on the fact that when their teams go out, they walk the streets of New Orleans in a very systematic way, and they pray the streets. They pray for people that are living there, that God would bless them, that God would get their lives back together again. And when they can, they stop at homes and ask the residents there, can they pray for them? Is there anything that they would like them to pray for? And right there and then, they pray with these people. And we know that God not only hears those prayers, but He answers those prayers, because prayer is so important. And what I want to talk to you about today, I want to talk to you about prayer. I want to share a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed, and we find that in his letter to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. And as I was looking at this prayer, I thought, what a wonderful prayer this is to pray for you, and to pray for our district staff, to pray for our synodical staff, to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray for our congregations. And so this evening, I'd like you to consider this prayer and make this one of your prayers as you pray for one another. Listen to the prayer that Paul prayed from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So we want to look at this prayer, the parts of this prayer, as it applies to us as shepherds of God's flock, and also as it applies to the leaders of our church and our synod, our district, our congregations. And may the Holy Spirit bless us as we look closely at this prayer. The first part of this prayer says, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. To know, to have a rich, full knowledge of what God wants for you. What does God want for you? And we're not talking about a knowledge that's just a head knowledge or memorized Bible passages or memorized commandments. But really knowing and trusting God and trusting in Jesus as our Savior. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. And that knowledge comes only through the wisdom and understanding that's given by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual literally means from or of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is the ability to see things from God's point of view and then to live our lives according to it. And understanding means insight into spiritual things. The next part of this prayer is that you will live lives worthy of the Lord. Lives that reflect the huge investment that Christ has made in us. What an investment that was. To hang on the cross. To take not only our sins upon Him, but the sins of the entire world. To be rejected by God the Father as He hung on the cross. To suffer and die for all those sins, and then, praise God, to rise again, victorious, so that we too can be victorious. Yes, Jesus has made us new creatures in Christ. The old has gone. The new has come. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Several decades ago, a simple plain bar of iron cost about $5. Now, if this bar of iron was formed into horseshoes, it would be about $10.50. So the worth has gone up. Turned into needles, it would be worth about $5,000. Forged into balance wheels for watches, balance springs, that iron was now worth $250,000. It's the same iron. What made the difference? The difference was the refining. The refining of that iron and the use that it was put to. So the value depends on the use that's made out of that iron. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Our lives are truly, truly valuable to the Lord because of our refining. We're of great value to God in building the kingdom. And we are saved to serve. And that's what we are. The next part of this prayer is to pray that you will live lives that are pleasing to God. Obedience to His commands is the primary way to please God, isn't it? It's not brilliance. It's not our wealth. It's not our prosperity. It's not our popularity or our personality. But it's obedience that pleases God. And that's the primary thing that disciples of Jesus Christ need to learn, is obedience. We need to pray for one another. Prayer is so important. We don't have the power to do that on our own, you see. It takes God's grace. It takes His power. And that's what we're praying for. The next part of this prayer is that you will bear much fruit. Bearing much fruit. God produces fruit on earth through Spirit-filled believers. The Spirit gives us the fruit that we need. And fruitfulness involves multiplication. How many of you have a garden at home? Have a garden? One kernel of corn put into fertile soil will cause a corn stalk to sprout. And on that corn stalk, there's usually 2 ears. Each ear contains 500 kernels. Multiplication. Being fruitful involves good choices. It involves spiritual growth. According to Simon Peter in 2 Peter 1 verses 5 to 9, believers who add spiritual qualities like goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, adding those to their faith, will be effective and will be fruitful in God's kingdom. The Ablaze program that we have in our district and our synod is all about being fruitful. About planting those seeds. Planting the seed of the gospel. You know, what would you think of me if my wife and I planted all these seeds down a nice row last month, and now they're already up about this far. But what would you think if every morning I came out and dug up the seed and lifted it up and said, "Oh, let's see, are you doing all right? Come on now, let's grow and stick it back in there." You'd think I was pretty stupid because that seed's not going to grow. It has to stay there. I have no power. I have no power over whether that seed grows or not. We are to plant the seed. That's what God has commanded us to do. To be ablaze. To be ablaze with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To take that gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the world. That's what we are to do. Are your hearts ablaze? Like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus revealed Himself to them. Weren't our hearts ablaze? We've got such good news. And we need to share it. The next part of the prayer is that you will grow in your knowledge of God. We're not just talking about a knowledge about God, but we're talking about a knowledge of God. It's having a relationship with God like a friend has with another friend. It's knowledge that comes through the spirit of wisdom and revelation according to Ephesians 1:17. No knowledge makes greater difference in a person's life than the knowledge of God through the Word of God. The better we know God, the better will be our love, the better will be our peace, the better will be our joy. The better we know God, the greater will be our discernment, the greater will be our purity, the greater will be our righteousness, according to Philippians 1, 9 and 10. The next part of this prayer is that we pray that you will be strengthened with all power. Believers need to be empowered in order to live for Christ. Think for a second now about your favorite car. If you were to just be given the car of your choice, think about the car you would choose. Beautiful lines, beautiful paint job. The wheels are just pristine. Slide into the car, into the seat. Nice plush leather seats. And you look at the dashboard and you have all these toys that we like so well. You know, GPS, Bluetooth, all this stuff. And then you decide, okay, here we go. And you put the key in, you turn the key, and nothing happens. You get outside of this beautiful car, and you lift up the hood, and there's no engine. I guess you could sit in the car, couldn't you? You could sit in the car, and you could pretend, you know, and pretend like you're driving a really cool car. But without that power, we're nothing. We can't do anything with it. Disciples need power. We need power to be effective, and that power is the Holy Spirit. Our congregations need that power. Otherwise, we're just going to sit around and play church like we're doing something. And we're not doing anything. Believers need power in order to minister effectively. Spiritual gifts are really spiritual empowerments that enable believers to be effective in their ministries. And the power that believers need in order to serve comes from the might and the power of God. We are strengthened with power through His Spirit in our inner being. The next part of the prayer is that you will endure. You will endure when tested. The Bible verse says that you may have great endurance and patience. Now I know most of you never have any trials or tribulations in your ministries. Is that right? No. Nobody's agreeing with me. Well, I guess that's true. We do have a lot of trials and tribulations, don't we? There's always something that's coming up. It's not easy for us. It's not easy for our families. It's not easy for our district president. It's not easy for our synodical president. It's not easy. There's going to be trials and temptations every day.